Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God, we pray that you would bless your word as it goes out this morning, that you bless your servant as I bring that word. And God, that you would encourage and strengthen all of our hearts, Lord, every one of us here today. And as we are facing things in the future, and as sometimes we're surprised by trials and difficulties, Lord, that you would give us strength from your word today. Lord, bless your word this morning. Bless it as it goes out. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to be talking about overcoming trials and temptations. And I know that some of you have gone through some stuff. Probably all of us have gone through difficulties in times past. And even for all of us, I don't want to say this too loud, but there are things coming that are going to be trials and difficulties that we're going to face. And so what I want to do this morning is share some things from the Word of God having to do with trials and temptations. Okay? First of all, I'm just going to start here. Every child of God is going to be tested. Every child of God is going to be tried and tested. And it's just a part of the Christian life. People who somehow get the idea that once I became a Christian, all my problems should go away. Let's put it this way. Your problems will probably change. Okay? They're going to be different kind of problems. But they're all for your good. They're all for our good. Amen? Difficulties and trials come as a testing of our faith. I was thinking about this even this morning on my way to church. Every child of God is going to be tested. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, like say when I was in school, in grade school and high school, and the teacher was saying, you know, there's going to be a test today. It was like, no, I'm not ready. So part of what I'm doing this morning is helping you get ready for the test. Okay. By the way, it's an open book test. You can look in here for all the answers. All right. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, it says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. The Apostle Paul is talking about when they came to Asia, they came to that area, and they had difficulties in their missionary work. Difficulties that were so huge, Paul himself says, you know, above our strength, we despaired of even of life, and yet somehow God got us through the trial and he helped us. And there are times when trials and difficulties come where it seems like I can't go on another step. I can't endure one more minute. And yet, as we look to God, he'll give us the strength at the time that we need it most. Amen. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't know many people who actually do that. Woohoo! Trials! I'm so happy! I don't think a lot of people will do that, but James is saying, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It is the testing of our faith that really helps us. You know what? I don't think God is kind of lacking understanding of our faith or how strong we are in our faith and all of that. But I think sometimes we overestimate our faith. We consider ourselves super men and women of God, and we're going to conquer the world, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And yet, sometimes the tests come. God is really testing and saying, so, I know how strong your faith is. I know how deep it is, but do you? And when the test comes, you know, sometimes we have to say, God, I thought I could handle this, but it just kind of blindsided me. I thought I was stronger than this. Well, That's a part of the reason for the test. It's not so God knows how faithful you are or how strong you are. It's so you know. You understand what I'm saying? It's good for us to know where we stand and how strong we are, and to have a right opinion and a right idea of, you know, our Christian character, our faith, you know, the ability for us to love and to really serve God. It's good for us to know that. Sometimes we get this idea that we can do it all, we can conquer all, we can love everybody, but then something comes along that just blows us out of the water, and we just go, wow, I sure didn't react good on that one. But it's the reason for tests. It's the reason that God allows tests to come. He doesn't want us to suffer necessarily. He doesn't take pleasure in saying, "Wow, good, let them squirm. I'm going to really see how they deal with this." You know, it's not like he enjoys our suffering, but he wants us to see where we are and how strong we really are. Amen. So that's why James says, count it all joy, you know, when you fall into various trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience, I know that there are some people who are blessed with great patience, and there are some people who don't have an ounce of it. But I'll tell you what, when testing comes, it will help you with your patience. So if you're a person this morning listening to this who deals with issues of patience and can't wait, and, you know, I'll tell you a prayer to pray. This might be a little dangerous. Lord, give me patience. Lord, teach me patience. You know what that means? The next time you're at the store and the line that you get into, which seems like it's the shortest, will end up being the longest. Because that's how God teaches patience. Okay? All right. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is trying you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Like, God, what is this? Where did this come from? He says, don't consider it strange, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Amen. I'm sure there's probably more reasons for trials and difficulties, but they really do shape us. They really do form our character and cause us to be more godly people. It really does help. And I don't pray for trials, but I pray for strength when they come. And I think that's what we should all do. Listen, we have a faithful God, and that's where we should be putting our trust. When the difficulties and the trials come, if you're going to trust in your own strength to get through it, you're going to have a tough time. You might get through it a little bit, but it's not going to be a complete and good victory. Amen. We need to trust in a God who is faithful. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12 say, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Amen. I'm just going to read part of that again. The Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord is a sun and shield. It's not me. And the Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will help. Amen. It says here he doesn't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And what that means, having to do with walking uprightly, God, I just want to do it your way. I want to do things your way. I want to follow your commandments. I want to not live my life my own way. I want to live my life your way. And God's word and his promise to us is, he says, he won't withhold any good thing from us. I like that. But, you know, it's another one of those promises that is conditioned. It says, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Amen. Psalm 91, starting at verse 14 here. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God is speaking to us. He's saying, because you know my name, because you love me, because you try to follow me and serve me with all your heart, I'll take care of you. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Those are awesome promises. But again, these are promises, promises of God, His protection, His strength, His help for us. We don't have to do this by ourselves. Amen. So, thank you, Jesus. All right. Really, the heart of my message this morning that I'd like to get to right now, those of you who are following the notes there, it's Roman numeral 3 there, how to overcome temptation and endure trials. How do we do that? How do we do that? Because, stuff happens, and it's like it'd be good to be prepared. How am I going to handle it when it comes? Well, I'll tell you what. The first item here is pray. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When we are facing either temptations or trials, that's the best time to start praying. And a lot of times, it seems like people stop praying right about then. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just the way that we're put together, our human nature. Sometimes the most obvious and smart thing to do is the thing that we avoid. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, don't sweat it. But in everything, with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. You know, He's waiting for us to hear. He's waiting for us to bring our requests and to say, Lord, here's the help I need. God, I'm facing a temptation. It's right in front of me. I've fallen 100 times before in this temptation, but I don't want to this time. God, give me strength. God, help me. Amen. As we pray and we look to Him for the strength that we need, that's where the answer comes. That's where the strength comes. Amen. But be anxious for nothing, for nothing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need our hearts and minds to be guarded, don't we? God, guard my heart, guard my mind. Amen. In regards to prayer, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We are to cast all of our care on Him. How do you do that? You come to Him in prayer. Prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God. It's coming to Him and saying, God, here's what I need. God, here's the spot that I'm having trouble with. I'm having a difficult time here. Help me, God. That's what prayer is. And when Peter is talking about that, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God cares for you. God cares for me. God cares for our needs. And I think sometimes, you know, I guess I've asked myself the question sometimes, so God, why aren't you helping me? Don't you see what's going on? And sometimes the answer is so obvious, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I haven't cast my care on Him. I'm so consumed by the problem in front of me that's all I'm focusing on. I'm not focusing on the One who can help me, the One who can deliver me from this problem. Amen. I think at least in 3 of the Gospels, Jesus, as He is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and His disciples are there, and He tells them to go and pray. But one of the things that He tells Peter, in Luke 22:46, He says, then He said to them, actually this passage is talking about to all of them, but then He said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He told Peter that too. He said, Peter, pray, because Satan wants to sift you. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. What did Peter do? Pretty much like what a lot of us do. We fall asleep. I mean, that's not just physical sleep. We're just kind of not paying attention, just falling asleep, not aware that God is there, not aware that He's listening. Amen. And So he says to them, why do you sleep? Why don't you rise up and pray lest you enter into temptation? A lot of times temptations come, and in fact, temptations are going to come to all of us. But how you deal with them and how you handle them and how you get through them is going to depend a lot upon what you have asked God to do for you. God, when it comes, give me strength. God, when the temptation hits, when the trials come, God, I just want to be faithful. I don't want to deny you. I don't want to walk away from you. I don't want to do something sinful. I think too often people, they fall into temptation. They give in to sinful thoughts and temptations because, first of all, they haven't prayed for strength. And I think, secondly, there's kind of an attitude of, well, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. God is holy and expects us to walk in a way that pleases him, and that's in a holy way. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 to 14. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. It's interesting that he closes that little passage there with flee from idolatry. What is idolatry? I mean, we think about the Old Testament and we think about people carving up some kind of idol and bowing down and worshiping the thing. And yet, an idol is just that. It's something that we bow down and worship. It takes more attention from us than God. If we're bowing down and serving God and worshiping him, that's one thing. But if there's something else that we are concentrating on, spending more of our time on, and really focusing on more and more, that's idolatry. Amen? And it can be the normal evil things. It can be even things like family and friends, where we spend more time focusing on them than we do on God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't focus on family and friends, but let them all be in the right order. God first. Amen? And then all of those other things. The other thing about that passage I just read is he says, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. Paul is saying here, you know, don't think there's something crazy going on, like I'm the only one who's ever been tempted like this. No, everybody has. I mean, we all have our own temptations, the things that really affect us more than others. There are some things that I'm tempted more by than you would be, and some things that you would be tempted by more than I am. And yet, temptations do come. They are common, okay? They're common to human beings. Temptations do come. But it says here, but God is faithful. God is faithful. What's that got to do with the temptation? God is faithful. He says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you'll be able to bear it. You know, the lie of the devil says, this is too big, this is too strong, or, you know, I've heard people say this, well, the devil was after me and I finally gave in and I wasn't strong enough. Well, according to this scripture, it says God is faithful. And when the temptation comes, he'll give you the strength to go through it. He will give you the strength. I mean, if you're going to rely on your own strength, well, no wonder you fall. No wonder we fall and fall flat on our faces, and finally we say, God, what did I do? I did it again. But God is faithful. He'll not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. And when it says he won't allow it, I think he won't allow it if we're trusting him for that. God, I believe you. I believe you're going to be giving me strength. There have been times when I have prayed that prayer specifically, saying, God, I'm doing okay right now. But that's usually a scary time. It's usually a time to be aware. The devil is just about to throw something at me, just about to tempt me with something. And if I'm willing to say, God, I'm doing all right now, but I know the devil has some tricks up his sleeve, and I know he still wants me to fall and fail and mess up. God, when that time comes, in that hour, in that moment, give me grace, give me strength, and help me to stand. Help me to stand in your power. Help me to stand in your strength. Amen. So flee idolatry. So he's saying, beloved, flee idolatry. Avoid those things that you bow down and worship, those things that you look at as higher than God. Amen. One other thing, and I kind of alluded to this just a little bit ago, but fearing God, I'll tell you what, if you will fear God, it'll go a long ways to keeping you safe and keeping you clean and keeping you on the right road. What do I mean by fear God? Sometimes people talk about, oh, God, you know, we're not supposed to fear him and be scared of him. Well, I'll tell you what, you should be fearful of the one who can bring punishment, can bring correction. You know, as a child of God, the scriptures teach us that God does discipline his children. And I'll tell you what, discipline isn't necessarily pleasant. We should be fearful that discipline may come. We should be fearful that as we do wrong and we are just kind of loose and free with it and just, whatever, God is loving and he's forgiving and he doesn't care, you know, we got to be careful about that. Our attitude should be, God doesn't want me to do this, and I should be concerned about consequences. Amen. Fearing God says, God, I trust you. But I trust you that you'll discipline me, you'll correct me if I'm out of line. Tell you what, there's a hard prayer to pray. God, if I ever get out of line, just let me have it. just let loose and give me the discipline I need and correct me and straighten me out. I don't know, that's almost like the prayer of saying, God, I need more patience, give me more patience. It's when we pray prayers like that, believe me, God will take you up on it. But I tell you what, you don't have to pray a prayer, God, correct me, straighten me out if I get out of line. You could, but he probably will do that anyways, even without you asking, because he wants what's best for you. You understand, you know, when parents discipline their children, it's not because they hate their children. It's not because they are somehow trying to cause some distress in their life and their problem. I realize when it comes to disciplining children, some people take it over the top and do it in an ungodly way. But God, our Heavenly Father, will discipline us the right way, and he'll discipline us for our good. Amen. And so we should be concerned about that. We should be fearful that there are consequences that will come. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around, all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. You know what? It's a blessing to fear the Lord. It's not a scary thing. It's what you're really doing is you're saying, God, I respect you, I reverence you, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe, and by your grace, you bought me. By your grace, you brought me into your family. God, help me not to take any of that lightly. Amen. All right, one other way to avoid and to overcome temptations and endure trials is to not stop fighting and not stop. And let me just read the scripture here first. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Doing right is not just an occasional thing. Doing right is what Christians do, or at least what we're called to do. And the scriptures here are telling us, don't grow weary in doing good. You know, sometimes we do good, and we keep doing good, and we keep doing good, and it seems like it's an uphill fight the whole way. It seems like we never get a thank you. Nothing is coming of it. But listen, if you will hang in there, and you will continue to persevere, and continue to do what's right and pleasing in God's sight, there is a reward. There is a blessing that comes. Amen. There is rest that comes. Amen. Therefore, as we have opportunity, listen, we've all got opportunity. I think every day of our lives we've got an opportunity to bless someone or to give someone a problem. I think we should choose to bless. Amen. Every single day we've got an opportunity to pray for someone, to give them a good word, to, you know, even sometimes, and I've said this before, sometimes people who are kind of out of sorts and they're just all messed up and they're angry and they got attitudes. For them to hear something out of our lips that's something like, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus really cares about you. I think a lot of times people don't know what to do with that. Amen. But as we have opportunity, let's do good. Let's continue to do good. I want to kind of expand on that whole issue, or the area of prayer. You know, if you are enduring a trial, a difficulty, if you're facing a temptation, to spend time praying and saying, God, I need some help here. But one of the other things, and we do this quite often here with church, we tell people at announcement time, if you've got a need, if you got something you want us to pray for, write it down on that prayer request slip. And but I'll tell you this, it's more than just what's on the prayer request slip. It's about talking to each other about our needs. And sometimes it means you're going to have to be open and honest. And I don't say that you should just go ahead and tell everybody all of your problems, but maybe there's a close friend, a relative, a loved one who knows and loves Jesus, and they know and love you. And for you to share with them, or for them to share with you what they might need. You know, I'm having a tough time with this, that, or the other thing. Would you please pray for me? It's a good thing to have us pray for one another. You know, it's one thing to pray by yourself, and the scriptures talk about that. Go into your closet, go into your room, and spend time with your Father, your Heavenly Father in heaven, and He'll reward you openly. He'll bless you openly. But there are scriptures that talk about us praying for one another. And I'm going to read this here from James. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. That's a good thing. Anybody suffering? Well, you know what to do now, right? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're happy, sing. Sing Jesus songs, though, okay? Hallelujah. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James here, the whole point of this passage is we are in this together. You've heard that saying. It's kind of driving me nuts. We're all in this together. Listen, as believers, we're all in this together. We are here for each other. We're here to pray for one another. We're here to bless each other. We're here to lift each other up. When one of us is down, it's time for the rest of us to gather around and raise them up and help them out. Amen. And pray for them. And James is talking about that. You know, confess your sins to one another. Be honest with each other. Pray for one another. If you got a need, you know, if you're joyful, sing some songs. Sing some psalms. Amen. If you're suffering, pray. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil and let them pray over the sick, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's important for us to pray for one another. Amen. You want to Well, and I think, let me just kind of backtrack just a little bit. When it comes to temptations, there are some people, and I'm going to speak specifically to the area of temptation, whether they are sexual temptations, whether they are addiction temptations, those kinds of temptations. You know what? You got to find someone that you can be honest with. And I'm not saying you put an ad in the paper and tell the world, but listen, if you're a believer who is struggling with some kind of a temptation, something that you seem to always keep falling into and having a problem with, you know, maybe you need to confide in someone. And not somebody who's going to blab it all over the place, but someone who's going to care about you, someone who's going to pray for you, someone who is going to lift you up. Amen? And I'll tell you what, there is such value in having a Christian brother or sister who can lift you up and be with you and hold on to you during the times of temptation and difficulty. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. I'm just going to conclude with a couple of verses here. Cast your burden on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. If you'll give your burden to him, if you'll give your load to him, if you'll give the temptation and the trial and the difficulty to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I'm not strong enough to handle this. Here it is, God. I'm giving it to you. It says here that he will sustain you, and he will never permit the righteous to be moved. Those are good promises. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I'm going to conclude with one other verse, and it's a little bit not quite totally on subject, but I want to end my message this morning with just a passage out of Matthew chapter 7. There are many people, and maybe there's a number of people who are listening to this message who are hearing something maybe for the first time. But this message is primarily for Christians, for temptations and difficulties and trials. But I want to say this. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take a lot. Well, maybe it does. It takes you humbling yourself. It takes you saying, God, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. I've sinned. God, I need you to come in. I need you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins, that you paid the full price so that I would have an opportunity to go to heaven someday. If that's you this morning, know and understand that Jesus is waiting for you to call on him right now to say, Jesus, I need you. Come in. Change me. Make me a new person. Amen. And he'll do exactly that. In this passage from Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is a narrow way. There's a narrow gate. It's Jesus. And the reason it's narrow is because it's not necessarily easy. You have to give up your life. You have to say, Jesus, here's my life. It's all yours. No longer me. It's all about you. There's a reason why there's so many on a wide road. I was reading in a different translation this morning at home. It says, on the wide road that leads to hell. And that is what it is. There's a wide road. And it looks pretty good. And it looks a lot of fun. Looks like there's a lot of people on it. There's a lot of good stuff going on that wide road. But it leads to hell. It leads to death. There's only one road that leads to heaven, that leads to Jesus. Amen. It is the narrow road. It is the road that says, Jesus, I'm yours. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you've given us a way to overcome trials and temptations. You've given us your strength. You've given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. We thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless us today, Lord, with a new understanding of how to get past these things. Lord, I especially want you to break the lie of the enemy that says, I can't, and I can't get over this, and I'm not strong enough, because God, me and you are strong enough. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, bless us today, Lord, and as the trials and temptations come, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be strong and help us to remember what we need to remember. It's time to look to heaven. It's time to pray. It's time to look for your help. So God, we just pray that you bless us today. Bless us with strength to endure the trials and the difficulties that face us. And Lord, we know that these trials and difficulties aren't forever. Someday we'll be with you in glory, and it'll all be taken care of and all be done. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for the way of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to pay our penalty, take our punishment for our sin. Thank you, Lord. Just bless us today and go with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.